Good evening, everyone. It's Adam again from Foot 24 with my 23rd stop off on my Welcome to Scotland series. I'm into the second half now, and the game's been going great so far that I've come today to. I have to say, the club I've come to today is one of my first memories of Scottish football as a wee kid back in the 80s when they were beating all sorts. And of course, you know, those of you with the history, you know, I'm in Aberdeen. And led back by the mighty Sir Alex, and they conquered all of Europe. And funny story for you today. Those of you who know a bit more about me know I do a lot of Ukrainian football, and I got one of our British Ukrainian connections with us today, Clark. How you doing over there, mate?
Not bad, thanks. Good to be on.
Great to be on. It's good. It's great that we can talk Scottish football and Ukrainian football. Yep. Not today, anyway, but we do have a good chat about both of them.
I hard not to.
So anyway, yeah, real pleasure to have you with us today, mate. Hope everything's well over there. Before we get started, of course, as always, a big shout out to Stel at Shoot the Defence. Stel, really appreciate all your hard work behind the scenes getting all of this to air and making sure everyone can listen to all the stories coming out of the Scottish League. So thank you very much for that. Well, Clark, you're the star of the show tonight. First up, how long have you been involved with Aberdeen Football Club, and you know what made it become your team?
Well, basically, I was born in 1982, so when I was growing up as a kid, there was one team winning everything, and probably my first real memories was the 1986 Scottish Cup final. Aberdeen beat Hearts 3-0 in the final. Just kind of took on from there. So, a bit of a shame I missed basically the whole of the Fergie years, but had some good times over the years and plenty of bad times, but it's been a good adventure. That's what makes it interesting.
Certainly is. I've got to say, I think when you've had the good times and the bad times are slightly more bearable, aren't they?
Really is.
What were your early memories as an Aberdeen fan growing up? You know, what were the standout days?
I suppose for any Aberdeen fan, it's basically the Fergie years up to 86. And then I kind of got involved and we had a kind of rough patch under Ian Porterfield, the former Sunderland player who scored in the FA Cup final. He came in as Ferguson's replacement. Couple of barren years under him, but when you look back in hindsight, no one's been able to replace Fergie even at Man United, so why should we be any different? And then Alex Smith and Jockey Scott came in and had a couple of actually not too bad years, did the double, almost took the league to the last day of the season, 1991. And then you've got the roller coaster of the 90s where then relegation dogfights, then back up win the League Cup, and then back down again, then mid-table, and then the topsy-turvy years of Ebbie Skovdal coming in, where there was so much hope and just led to absolutely nothing. And then we're into the 2000s and 2010s, and just a case of we got back to something when Rangers were out of the way, and now we just seem to be stagnated a little bit.
It is. I mean, how long has McInnes been there now?
About 8 years. Must be close to seven, eight years now, aye.
Oh, wow. Time flies there. He only seems like he started 5 minutes ago.
I feel like he's only been there maybe about 2-3 years, but you think about it, know that. You think about a game in Europe, you think, oh, that was 7 years ago, but it feels like yesterday.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, how many years? He's built quite a record recently in European football. Is it 5-6 years successive? Aberdeen have qualified for the Europa League.
Well, third round play, just short of the playoff for getting into the leagues, but yeah. Had some good times along the way. I mean, the big one when we beat Rijeka from Croatia. That was a big result for us. And Groningen from the Netherlands, that was another one we were expected to not do anything. We got through there. And then we've came up against the likes of Real Sociedad, and then we've came so close against the likes of that, I think it was a team from Kazakhstan and Cyprus.
Yes.
So get to the fringes of something and then just go out, and that's the problem.
It is. Well, they'd be the same. It's one of the great clubs of Scottish football, really is for me. Wejcika. Now, it's also, I was going to chuck in a Ukrainian thing there, but I think Chabenko's just gone to one of the other Croatian teams on loan. I think it's Ostip and not Rijeka. Never mind. I was trying to do it, but I failed. You were saying then you used to have years saying off there. You used to have your season tickets regularly. Growing up, where did you sit in the stadium? What's the stadium like? You know, is it? It's quite a classical one, from what I've seen.
It's a typical British style stadium. You've got the traditional old main stand, which is one of those Archibald stands. Who's like built at any old stadium in the UK? Has got one of his stands. You've then got behind one goal, you've got a small paddock stand. That's the Merklin. You've then got the south stand, which is just one long, goes right along the pitch, and that's where basically the most the action is. And then you've got the modern Richard Donald stand, which is the big two-story, which house hospitality and home fans. And my season ticket was just at the front of the Richard Donald stand, so just behind the goals.
Yeah, good noise in there.
Yep, got a good atmosphere.
Yeah,
Todd is not really known for its atmosphere, but over the years, the fans have tried to make an effort.
Okay, so what the support groups like there? Is it a good sort of backing that the supporters have got for the club, or kind of any discontent?
For the third city of the country, you would like to hope that the fans would get out and you would about just short 20,000 every game, but unfortunately, 9,000 to 12,000 on a good day, 16 maybe when we play a bigger team or something to play for. And really, you're only talking 19,000 to 20,000 when we get play Rangers and Celtic.
Mm-hmm. I've got to ask again. This, shall we say, for people perhaps don't know Scotland so well. I mean, let's take this in two separate eras: the pre Ross County Inverness era and the post Ross County Inverness era.
Yeah.
How close is it from Aberdeen to your nearest rival?
Well, even when you bring those two on, it's still closer to Dundee United and Dundee for us than it is to get to Inverness and Dingwall.
Fair enough. How long is it?
You could probably do Aberdeen to Dundee in about 90 minutes.
90 minutes, okay.
Maybe a wee bit quicker now because there's a new bypass around the city. You could get out the city a bit quicker.
Ah, fair enough. And down to Glasgow and Edinburgh?
About 2.5 hours.
Okay.
About 90 minutes down to Dundee, and then from Dundee to the centre of Glasgow, it's about an hour and a half. So two and a half hours.
Do you get a sense up there of that kind of isolation, shall we say, when your nearest rival is? What, 90 miles is what, about 90? Yeah. Go on.
Well, when people say, like, who's your rivals, you will say, one minute you'll say, oh, the media make out, oh, it's Dundee United because of the new firm from the 80s when we had Sir Alex and they had Jim McLean, who's just died. And really, that's just one of those rivals because we, the press, made it a rivalry. Like, it's that kind of Brighton, Crystal Palace style thing, just the press say it's a rivalry, so it's a rivalry. But really, ask most Aberdeen fans, they'll say our biggest rivals are Rangers and Celtic. Yeah. And just Dundee United and Dundee are our derby.
Fair enough. Is it the same, you know, one of the things we say we've been hearing about on this series, in Aberdeen itself, do you still get a lot of sort of Glasgow and Celtic supporters up there?
Well, I went on a supporters bus from Glasgow and it was always the case of we'd be leaving Glasgow and time we got to maybe Perth, Dundee, we'd see the Aberdeen buses with Celtic and Rangers flags coming down the other way to go to Ibrox or Celtic Park. So while we were one bus, it was maybe five or six buses we were seeing coming the opposite direction. So kind of a little bit disheartening at times, but you support who you support. As somebody who lives on the other side of the country, I'm one to talk.
Fair enough. Have you always lived up over on the West Coast? It was.
Yeah.
So it was... Are you telling you were one of the original Glory supporters, shall we say?
I'd say that, yeah, because Ah, like, fair. Just been born in 1982. That's basically what you can say.
No, I mean, it's yeah, you've got to say,
and even up to like 1994-ish, it was a case of finishing second in the league was standard for us. I mean, Celtic had their poor run.
I remember it well. You say you mentioned there, you know, there about was it the 91 season when it was about 1 or 2 points between you and Rangers.
I went to the last game of the season at Ibrox.
Yeah, it was incredibly. You always felt that Aberdeen could win the title at any moment.
Yeah.
Any moment. So it really was that way. But say, these days, is the same optimism there? And what is the feeling amongst the Aberdeen supporters towards the old firm these days?
I think the general feeling is we know we're not going to win the league. That's a given. We can't compete with Celtic and we can't compete with Rangers. But the hope is can maybe win one, either the Scottish or the League Cup. Maybe get a little European run and finish. Maybe we could separate the old firm, but mainly it's finishing third. And now with Europa, Scotland's coefficient raised, we're just one game from the group stages of the Europa League now. So finishing third is greater than ever now for any team in Scotland.
Really is. What's the feeling as well? I mean, Aberdeen be a classic case. This new European Cup's meant to be starting, isn't it, next year? Was it the conference, European Conference League? Or
I've seen bits and bobs about it. I've not really kept up to date with that. I've just seen them flying around, not really. I think it's one of those cases of we probably enter it, well, I'll probably know more about it, but the minute it's just a case of if it happens, it happens.
Fair days. I mean, it's one of those that perhaps for a club like Aberdeen, it could gives that greater opportunity to develop in, or refine themselves, shall we say, within the European landscape, where people drop off to find their level and then rebuild up again with a bit more finance.
I mean, there's all the Europa League where we could play a team from Latvia, we could play a team from, if we get lucky, a smaller team from the Netherlands, get past them, then we get maybe a team from Cyprus, and you're thinking, right, we're almost in the group stages, then the next round you'll get something like AC Milan or Inter Milan, or as we forgot this season, Sporting Lisbon. So it's just one of those cases where you just can only get so far, and then you think, no, that's it, as far as we've gone. Last season we got Burnley, and we really did take them all the way.
I remember it. That was a good little battle, that one. How did you feel it was all portrayed in that in the media? You know, so when Aberdeen drew Burnley, do you think the English media treated it respectfully?
I think it was actually more a case of the whole of Scottish football going. It was one of those rare cases where the whole of Scottish football got behind Aberdeen, because they're thinking, who are Burnley there? They're not exactly Man United or Arsenal or Chelsea.
Yeah,
and they're talking like they're going to walk at 5-0 and stuff, and we gave them a good scare, I feel.
Certainly does. Do you feel that still the sort of, I mean, it's one of the things I've spoken about is sort of the attitude when English players, you know, and English journalists, English media people start getting involved in Scottish football. Do you feel that the respect is there that Scottish football deserves?
No, it's one of my pet hates, especially when you've got likes of TalkSport, and it's clear they're just out trolling just for the sake of people phoning because it's a quiet news day, and it's just a case of people talking who've probably never attended a game in Scotland in their life. Probably their only clue in Scottish football is maybe catching one old firm game on Sky Sports and consider themselves an expert after watching that.
Yes, it's a shame. I mean, somebody mentioned to me the sort of the Joey Barton example when he came up and failed miserably. And I talked recently to some Clyde fans who spoke quite happily, shall we say, at the Roy Keane debut a few years back in the Cup, where he certainly had a welcome.
I mean, you've had Ian Wright come up here and he didn't do anything at Celtic. You've had Robbie Keane come up here and he didn't really do much either. So they all think they're superstars, come up here and just going to walk it. I mean, look at this season with Shane Duffy.
Yes.
He's been absolute bomb scare all season. And when he signed, it was a case all Celtic fans said, oh, league's in the bag now, that's it.
No. This is different. And I mean, to say you, we're drifting away a little bit from Aberdeen here, but say you said telling me earlier that you travel with the national team, so you see a lot. You personally, you see a lot of international football. You know, different types of players suit different styles of football. Yeah,
exactly.
And it does means players coming up to Scotland can be real successes. If they adapt to the style of game, whereas others, if they don't, will quite
see. I think what shocks a lot of people is the speed of the tempo of our game up here. Mm-hmm. They all come up here and think it's slow and cumbersome, but I think it does shock a lot of people when they come up here, and it is at a good pace up here.
I definitely agree with you there. Anyway, moving on. I'll say, let's talk a little bit about the club now at the moment. Who actually owns it? First of all, who's who?
The owner is a guy called Dave McCormack. He's like local boy, done well. I think it's IT's in or something like that in the States. Okay. For years, we had a chairman called Stuart Milne, who's a property developer, and he got a bit of flack at times because he didn't really go into his wallet as much to sign players. But if it wasn't, I think you've got to appreciate the student years where we maybe weren't spending the money for the years where we did get a bit of money. And now the club, well, until we went to lockdown, the club were actually turning, had no debt to speak of. So it was worth it.
What's the relationship like between him then and the supporters? And did the supporters get the opportunity to get involved with the running of the club?
Well, he's active in social media, so he does get his name about, and he comes out with all these big plans. Like he's talking about doing up the stadium to State Pittodrie. Mm-hmm. We'll probably talk about it later, but there's been a lot of talk about moving to a new stadium, but he's suddenly talked about doing it up, like how to improve the match day atmosphere. He seems to have a lot of connections with Atlanta United and the MLS, so it seems to be we're always getting told we're going to have a link up with them. Mm. And as I said, he's on social media a lot, and he comes out with videos just giving us updates on what's happening.
And do the fans appreciate that?
I think a lot of people, fans, have came to the conclusion that if he was chocolate, he would eat himself. He's one of those people who's, I think, really, really likes the sound of his own voice, and time will tell what's going to happen. Because he's only just taken over maybe in the last year, I think it is, because he came on as vice chairman, he invested money to help build the training complex, and then he took over as chairman maybe about a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned there about potentially moving. What's going on there?
It just seems to be something that the club have been involved with since the mid-90s. We've just always been talking about a new stadium, and every time it seems to be we get a piece of land, then the council would knock it back, so we go to somewhere else, and then the original plan was to move across the road to the golf course, which is across the road from Pittodrie, and that was the fans said, yep, accept that, that's happy. That got rejected. We then had plans for a stadium which revolved around Scotland getting Euro 2008, and that didn't happen, so that was rejected. And then the talk late was we're going to move out to where we've just built the training complex, which is just a little village on the outskirts of the city beside the new bypass that's been built. And that seems to have gone quiet, but in the last week or two, the city council said, we've got this piece of land, it's just a stone's throw from Pittodrie, which we're happy for you to build on. It's an old Hilton Hotel, which is just where they just went bust, so the ground's sitting empty, and it's part of a whole redevelopment complex they're talking about building. They said to the club, come and speak to us and we'll see what we can do. So that's got quite a lot of the fans happy, because I don't think any fans wanted to move away from our city centre location to one of these IKEA stadiums with no soulless bowls out in the middle of the scrubs, with no bars, no facilities, and anything like that.
So you've tied me in nicely there, because I wasn't quite sure where Pittodrie was, but you are a city centre location then. Is it St James-esque? You know, right in the heart.
No, I wouldn't say it's that close. It's from Union Street, which is like the main street for the centre of Aberdeen, you're probably 5 minutes in a taxi or a couple of minutes, 10 minutes on a bus, or you could walk it maybe 15, 20.
And
there's a few pubs in, on the way and stuff like that.
Well, go on then. Give us name a few of your favourites. Which are the best ones to go to? To get the Aberdeen buzz, not perhaps just not from a beer preference.
Well, you've in the town, you've got quite a few places. You've got near the closest pub to the ground is probably the Bobbin, which is kind of student bar.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a really good bar right across the road, the Rodwood Bar, but it closed down, and it was perfect because it was just across the road.
Oh, that's
you've got a Brewdog that's open in town now, which is actually pretty good. You've also the last pub really before you leave the city centre is a Weatherspoons, but that's not my scene. I don't go there at all.
The fans turn out in good numbers at them before the game.
I think I would say they're dotted everywhere. You can get a good buzz. I mean, the Weatherspoon seems to be pretty popular. Archibald Simpson's seems to be a pretty popular place. I know it's not my scene at all, but every time I'm up and send a text message around, where is everybody? One or two of them seem to always be in there.
The dark side of football culture, Mr. Witherspoons.
Exactly.
What about to get a bite to eat near the ground? Any popular little haunts there?
Well, as I said, Bobbin, which is a kind of student pub, that's the a good burger and chips in there and good prices. There's a really good Italian restaurant just as you leave the site, Union Street. Mm-hmm. Can't remember the name of it just now, but it's always a good meal in there. And in town, you've got plenty of good places to eat here and there.
That's cool. Because, like you say, Aberdeen was third or fourth biggest city in Scotland.
Third biggest city in Scotland after Glasgow and Edinburgh.
What's the population there?
I think it's about the 200,000 mark, maybe. A bit more. I know Glasgow's the 1 million, Edinburgh's 500,000, I think Aberdeen's about half of that again.
Good number. I do want to talk to you about the community side of the club, because it's something that I do admire a lot about what goes on in Scotland. I honestly feel that a lot of other leagues could learn a lot from the Scottish model in terms of how it goes on there. You're saying about the community trust that Aberdeen had, you were telling me about earlier, Clark. What sort of programmes do Aberdeen run to help engage with the community and support people in Aberdeen?
Well, I think it's just basically the same as any club, really. I mean, you've got the players who go out and meet the fans at social events.
Mm-hmm.
You've got youth teams. I mean, the club always seem to be sending a youth team out to play in some tournament in the Netherlands or Cyprus or England somewhere. And you've got the children's charity, which the club run, which helps out children in hospitals and stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice. Just the club have always been pretty active in the community, but just seems to be it's mixed results with what they get back. I mean, Does the site support them as much as it should? The answer is no, but they try their best and they still get the good crowd, so that's all they can do.
They're definitely keeping the people happy there, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, how has the club adapted to the COVID era? I mean, I know there's been bits in the press about the financial implications that the club have done.
We've had to adapt. I mean, before COVID, everybody was really happy because the club were in a good financial position. We were pretty pleased that we didn't have any debts, of, and so we weren't needing to sell players. We could let players go, but we didn't need to sell players for money. And then it's the case of COVID's happened. We've had to adapt. And we're selling games online so people can see it and stuff like that. But just a case of we've just got to keep going on. We've just sold Cosgrove to Birmingham City for £2 million, so I would assume that's going to see us okay, maybe till the fans are back.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed on that one. It's been a difficult situation for everyone. What's the streaming been like? Is it a good service there?
I've not actually watched it because Saturdays I just don't have time to watch it. I don't watch
fair enough. Fair enough.
But from what I hear from most people, it's not bad. I mean, I've got friends in England and they watch their teams and they're always moaning, oh, it's a bad thing. Oh, it's jumpy. Oh, it's 50 seconds behind. The radio, stuff like that, but from what I hear, the Aberdeen games, it's not too bad, I suppose.
And that's cool. I heard Celtic, they were telling me that the only way you could access their stream was if you bought a season ticket, and if you weren't a season holder, you weren't allowed. No horror stories like that, I hope. Up at Pataudry, I hope they've been a lot better that way. Clark, listen, now, obviously, we're hoping fans get back as soon as possible. And I think that's, you know, sort of a global agreement on that we want this whole thing to come to an end as soon as possible. When it does, you know, people coming to Aberdeen, what can they expect from the match they experience? You know, what would be, you know, your typical Aberdeen supporter experience in a nutshell, so to speak?
Probably waking up, it'll be a grey, miserable, dull day, but you've got that little enjoyment that you've got to get the football that afternoon. And so if you get into town, you meet your friends, just chatting away, a couple of beers, and then about 1 o'clock, you start looking towards the door of the pub and walking down Union Street to get to Pataudry and get to the ground, get your programme, get your pie, and just chat with whoever's there and just enjoy the match. And hoping it's a good one, but it's a case of just now, it's a case of we play Hamilton Accies and we think, oh, we beat Motherwell last week, we'll beat Hamilton Accies this week, and then we lose 1-0 or a goalless draw against Hibs. You want to believe every week it's going to be good football, but you just know we're going through a lot of a mire just now where it's formed really off and not doing anything. Yeah. I think we've only won one of our last five games or something like that.
Yeah, well, at time of recording, we should add that, definitely.
I've said that.
Yeah, now you're going to be on a great run. By the time this goes to air, you'll have won three back.
Hopefully.
Be a whole different story, Yeah. I got to say, I mean, don't normally touch on things like this, but the boy, what's the young striker you've just got on loan from the French club? Hornby. I like the look of him. He's a good little prospect.
I've watched him for the Scotland under 21s and he's looked good. I think even under 21 level, I think he's a better prospect than what McBurney was. And he's very hit or miss with the Scotland fans. And Everton fans seem to really rave about Hornby, and then he's went into France. It doesn't look like it's worked out there for him, but hopefully we can get something out of him.
Fingers crossed. I saw the name pop up on, was it Deadline Day signing? Of course.
Deadline Day was kind of weird because we didn't seem to sign anyone. Then it was that influx. I mean, we signed former Scotland defender Colin Hendry. We signed his son on loan from St. Mirren, Johnston.
Yes.
That just seemed out of the blue.
Yeah, yeah. Packed yourself full of strikers really quickly. Yes. All your strikers had left, I think, during it. The week before. But
that's that.
Hopefully the goals will start coming soon. But I do like the look of Hornby. I think he's going to be a great player in the future.
Yeah.
Really do. Now, I've got one thing before we finish up tonight. I ask all my guests this. When the fixture lists come out, and, you know, we have to say, obviously, you live on the West Coast, so it's slightly different too for you. But which are the away days that you really look forward to? Or are there any sort of places you've been to in the past that you think, I really love for Aberdeen to draw them again in the Cup, for example?
Yeah. Well, naturally for me, the one I look forward to every year is first time I check is when do we play Kilmarnock, because that's basically two home games. I mean, I can leave my house at 2:40 and still be there in time. But proper away game, the one I always look forward to maybe is Hibs, because I think Hibs is probably the best away game in Scotland. in the Premier League, because I really like going through to Edinburgh, and Hibs fans are a good lot of fans, and I think that's one of the quiet days of... I mean, a lot of people seem to prefer going to Tynecastle to play Hearts, but for me, I've always preferred Easter Road and Hibs.
And
every time you get in the cup, it's always a case of Ayr United or Morton away.
Just for the locality of it.
Just for the locality, aye. It's the easy one for me.
Well, Somerset's a great place to watch.
I like Somerset. It's probably one of the... I think they are Queen of the South and Allo are probably the last old school fixtures in Scotland, if you ask me. I think everywhere else it seems to be they've done up their stadium or they've moved into a new stadium. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere really like proper old school anymore.
No, they're certainly high up on my list of places to go to.
Yeah.
You know, they really are.
And we played Ayr United in the League Cup maybe about 10 years ago, and a lot of all the old Aberdeen fans came down. It was probably the first time we played at Somerset since the late 70s. Mm-hmm. And they're all saying, these guys in their 50s and 60s, this place hasn't changed in 30 years. And you could tell they were just reminiscing and just they were enjoying themselves being there.
Yeah, missing it, you know, I would imagine, missing the old school experiences.
Yeah.
Oh, God, for anybody under the age of 20 that actually listens to this, they'll be thinking, what are they talking about? Oh, yeah. What are they talking about?
Exactly. The place is like Livingston now, and it's just a soulless bowl in the outskirts of town. And really one of the best, actually, I think one of the best away days of Scotland, lower league, is Berwick. I think I've been there a couple of times, and I think it's one of the best because it's proper old school. I mean, there's one train station to town, and the pubs, you've got to walk into town, and then the grounds are good walks from the town centre, and it's just in a field almost.
Oh, wonderful. That for me is the, you know, sort of what football is all about.
Yeah.
It really is. And speaking to the Converticals, you know, out here in the Ukraine, you do get a lot of places like that, especially in the smaller villages and the smaller settlements.
Village league games.
Yeah, and they're absolutely great fun when you get that little vibe going.
Yeah.
Hey Clark, it's been great to chat tonight. I really enjoyed it. People who listen to this, if they want to follow you, maybe got any questions or anything like that, is there anywhere on Twitter or Facebook or the like? What are your social media handles, if you want to share them?
Twitter is at Wanderer1982, and just on Facebook is Clark Gillis.
There we go. And well, that's it, everyone, for today. So just a big thank you again to Clark. For this evening. Really appreciate it. Thanks you for your time. It's been a real pleasure. And to everyone at home, thank you. Without you, it'd be me and Clark having a good old chat about football, which I don't mind doing in the slightest. But having you guys here as well makes it extra special. Until next time, this is Adam from EqualFox 24 with my 23rd episode on the Welcome to Scotland series. Until next time, everyone, take care and goodbye. Thank you.